We just have like two dogs on this couch.
It's actually very monochromatic.
If
There's all of the dogs' couch.
anyone's watching this, we have like a beige painting in the background. The couch is white.
Coco blends in with the carpet or
Taylor's
the
dog
box.
Coco is brown. The blanket Taylor has is brown. She's wearing a brown bodysuit
The white
with a beige, or sorry, cream
or cream.
jacket. I'm wearing a tan outfit that matches the painting, and the blanket that Angel is on is nude, and then Angel is like beige. So everything in this picture right now is like nude and beige, which is my favorite.
It's very on brand, I think, for both of
It's like
us.
nude sticks.
Nude sticks, exactly. Everything's different shades of neutral.
Yes.
So we're keeping the aesthetic going on and offline.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, let's get this party on the road, or let's get this
Let's
show
get
on
this show on the
the
road, get
road.
this party started.
People, or specifically Adrienne, always makes like not makes fun, but she always laughs that I love idioms. Like I'll say random things like that, but I'll always get it wrong. Also because my mom growing up, like she would say these things, but she'd get them wrong. She's an immigrant, right? So I'd be like, let's get this party on the road.
You're
Or
just combining two. It's funny because I probably do the same thing, or I'll kind of like start it and I'll be like, oh, like how does that go? And then I'm like, it just doesn't hit,
and that, you
it's
know, when you're
different.
like on a panel and then you totally say the wrong thing and you're like, no, you just gotta go with
You
it.
just have to laugh at yourself and, just own it. It's
Yeah,
fine. Doesn't really matter. Everyone
exactly.
does it.
Okay, well, hi Taylor.
Hello.
Hi love. Welcome to Heart to Heart.
I'm so nervous.
No. It's funny because Taylor, you and I have these types of talks all the time. Like the other day, we were at Barry's boot camp just getting a smoothie after our Pilates class. And we were just sitting there talking for like an hour and a half, just venting. And then we moved it to the car because I was afraid I was going to get a ticket.
And then Hila played a podcast for me
Yeah,
that's
I played
amazing.
the Man Enough podcast for Taylor, which I love. And we did have these talks all the time, and we could talk about like, I just feel like it just naturally happens a lot for us because we're both entrepreneurs. Actually, this is a great little segue to like giving some background about you. But, you know, I think the fact that we're both entrepreneurs and we both really get each other's stresses and what goes on in our life and how it impacts the rest of our life, it just makes conversation so easy. And we vent and like, we're like, I don't, no one else gets it, you know? But without further ado, I want to introduce you guys to Taylor because, okay, well, Taylor, we'll talk about how we met
I was gonna
after.
say,
Yeah,
let's
we have to definitely talk about how we met. Taylor is the co-founder of the brand Nude Sticks. You've probably seen it either if you were in Ulta, if you're in Shoppers, if you've been in Sephora, if you've been in, and like if you've been into either 3,500 different retailers in the world, 3,500 retailers, points of distribution in the globe, you will find Nude Sticks products, which is wild to me. I remember one time I sent you a picture. I don't know where I was in like a manufacturing trip. I don't know where specifically I was, but I remember I was just in the random mall in Asia and I was like, wait, Nude Sticks is here. I'm like, what the heck? It was such a cool
Maybe
experience.
Hong Kong or
Yeah,
something.
I think I was in Hong Kong. So yeah, Taylor is the co-founder of Nude Sticks. You've been around for 10 years now, which is wild. I can't wait to hear a little bit more about like what it must have been like being, was it 17 when you started? And you know, it's an eight-figure business with a 75-person team. Like, oh my God, hats off to you. Like, whoa. Like I run a team that's a fraction of the size, fraction of the global impact, like fraction, no distribution in terms of like retail. We're only e-commerce, but you guys do e-commerce and 3,500 retail stores. Like, I feel like if anyone's listening to this, you have to understand like the gravity of something like that. Like, that's not an easy feat. And of course, you have like an amazing team who like helps. And you know, there's different roles for different parts of the business, but it's a heavy weight. And that invisible weight is something a lot of people don't talk about. Taylor, tell us about it.
It's heavy for sure. You're completely right. And we had this conversation a few days ago, and I feel like it is really hard to try and express like the feeling of owning a business, having a team. And yes, maybe different in the sense of like size of team, but ultimately it's the same thing. Like you feel the weight of like the accountability of having people work for you, having people grow the business with you. Not gonna lie, I have days where I'm like, how the F are we going to do this? Like in such a competitive landscape. I break down often, but what I've realized, I think, over the past 10 years is most people that are doing this and most people that have businesses are feeling the exact same way. And a lot of us are kind of just figuring it out as we go. Like I used to think, you know, whether you're an executive of 20 years of experience or you've built a really successful business, that yes, you learn so much over the years, but at the same time, it's like the industry changes so much and it evolves so much that someone who had built a business even 10 years ago today would not know how to maybe navigate a landscape, especially in like CPG, especially if you're creating a consumer packaged good, like in today's landscape. So I kind of like to almost give myself a little bit of like, you know, of a moment to be like, you know what, like you're still figuring it out and that's okay. And like, just take it day by day and like, don't overstress yourself over the anxieties of like what it's going to be like in a year, 2 years, 3 years from now.
Yeah. I don't know. Day by day. Right. That's because that's heavy.
Yeah.
That would be way too much to have to like, but it's normal, right? Like as a co-founder leading the entire marketing division at Nudesticks, right? It's, you're constantly having to think about relevance. Mm-hmm. How are we going to be relevant? How are we going to stay, you know, at the top? Or, you know, how can we continue to compete with everything, every new brand, all these celebrity brands that keep coming into the space, mm-hmm. right? That I can imagine that would drive me crazy too.
Yeah, right? No, and I feel like
focusing on that every single day, just kind of.
Yeah, staying in your lane, yeah. Like focusing on what you do best and like what right. your differentiation is. And I feel like it does take a toll personally as well, because I mean, we all live on social yeah. all the time. And so it's so easy to compare yourself to other brands, other founders, and, you know, try in some ways. And I think there's ways to be inspired by others. Like I'm always inspired by you, whether it's your personal content, your brand content. I think we can all say that like, we'll take something from someone who we think is doing a really great job and iterate it and make it your own. But yeah, I think I've kind of just learned to focus very narrowly on like what we're doing, because otherwise you're going to get sidetracked yeah. and it's, then you kind of alienate yourself, you alienate your customer. Yeah.
What do you specifically do at Nudesticks? Like, what's your role? What does your day look like?
Yeah.
What did yesterday look like also?
Yesterday. Well, I was in the office yesterday. So like I travel a shit ton for work. Can I swear on the podcast?
Hell yeah.
Okay. I'm like, can I say these?
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
You can bleep me.
No, no need to bleep. This is heart to heart. Heart to heart.
Yes. I travel a lot for work. Like I'm gone maybe like 60% of the year.
As your best friend, I can attest to this because, yeah, trying to hang out.
Yeah, I think with both of our schedules, like Hila will message me, especially last year. You were traveling a lot last yeah, year. Okay. And I'm like, okay, where in the world are you? Are you home? And if Hila's home for like 24 hours, we're like, okay, let's yeah. go for a workout. Yeah. Let's grab yeah. some food.
But you've been really busy lately.
Yeah,
you've been on the road a lot.
Yeah.
So yeah, sorry. Go ahead. Explain your role. Explain your day.
No. I travel obviously a lot, and so when I'm traveling, typically like a day will look like, I mean, every day is a little bit different, but usually I'm traveling for events and like for PR. So like I'm hosting our media events, which will like, you know, I'll speak to influencers, editors, all of the things, and then other than that, I'm doing education. So I'm going to stores and looking at our merchandising. I'm meeting with the beauty advisors in stores. So it's like any of the team members that work at Sephora or Ulta, et cetera, teaching them about the brand, kind of like learning. Cause I think the best way to honestly learn, I feel like sometimes we can get so stuck doing the day to day in our office. And I think, you know, as founders and as leaders, in order to grow our business, like you really, and it's not just being out there in terms of like traveling, you don't necessarily need to travel, but I think it's like going into the real world to see like, okay, like how are people interacting with your brand, or I always love to look at like other women, like what they're wearing on their face, like what makeup they're wearing. I love to ask questions of like, oh, like what products are you loving? Like that for me is like the biggest like takeaway when I travel is like, and bringing those back to the business to be like, okay, like how can we, whether it's change the way we educate on social or change the way we talk about a product or the content we create. So I think, yeah, love doing it, but it's fucking tiring.
I
Like
know.
I feel like you feel this too. And I know going into this year, you were like, you know what, I need to like be home for a bit. Like I need to be home. I need to like go to the office. I need to focus on my, you know, my health, my physical health. And I have to say, like, this year is a big year for us because there's just a lot of competition and we just need like the founder presence needs to be where the brand is. So, and building those relationships. But yeah, if I had the choice, I would totally be like, I'm just gonna maybe travel like once every few months and, you know,
I was going to
yeah.
ask you, how important do you think it is for a founder to show face? And is it all founders need to do that? Or like, let's say it's a founding team of two people or three
Yeah.
people. Is it that all founders need to show face? Or do you believe that at least one person does? Or do you think it even has to happen at all?
Yeah, I think it depends on your brand. I feel like if you're a founder who has built a connection with your audience, if you're like very consumer facing, like you create content on social, people love your brand for its products, but people also love your brand because of you. And like that's a huge point of differentiation. Like if you can build those relationships and you can have people fall in love with you as a person, I think, yeah, like I think it is important, you know, to be facing, but sometimes it doesn't mean that you have to be IRL. Like you can do that through social or connect through DMs or, you know, do certain events in your local cities. But for our business, like just because we're a global business, like I have to kind of be a little bit of everywhere. But yeah.
Do you ever feel a sense of guilt for, you know, because I know that you're so involved in other aspects of the marketing team, like the creative, and you're probably meeting with the social team, you're probably meeting with the events
Yeah.
team, right? Do you ever feel guilty for being like, all right, guys, I've got to go to Barcelona. All right, guys, I got to go to New York again and
Yeah.
go to see a stylist and go to this cool PR event and hang out with these influencers. Like, do you ever feel guilty for that when you know you have like a very hardworking team
Yeah.
in the office working on, like, let's say the creative?
Yeah.
Or like,
Yeah.
how does your mind work around that?
Yeah. I think I feel guilty because when I travel, it's not that I feel guilty because I'm doing like the quote unquote glamorous things, because I think anyone who travels for work knows that it's like far from glamorous. And I think my team, now that they're traveling a little bit more with me, they're seeing it and they're like, oh, like it's not glitz and glam.
I
Like,
thought I wanted this, but
yeah, I think a lot of people romanticize it. And I think, yes, there are so many fun things about traveling. And I think when you're young and when you have like the energy, like it's amazing. I mean, we're young and we have the energy, but we've also been doing this for like 10 years. So I definitely think like that has maybe worn off a little bit, although I do appreciate it. I think the guilt is when I'm away, it's really hard to focus on like the day-to-day of the business. But at the same time, like that's kind of why you have a team, right? Like they are your backbone and they are you know, your support system, and they couldn't do what you do. And so I think, you know, as you grow your team, it's like you do have to learn to like give up certain things and like just, yeah, and own it. Like you can't do it all.
And when you say like they can't do it, it's because they, like, it'd be weird if someone on your social media team was at a panel speaking on the founding story of
Yes,
Nudestick, because it's like
exactly.
it resonates most with you. And so you have to do that.
Yes.
Like, there shouldn't be guilt around it,
Yeah.
because like it's a huge part of the success of Nudestix,
Exactly.
the story of Nudestix.
Yeah.
So, but I guess I ask that because I sometimes
You feel
feel
the
guilt.
guilt?
Yeah, for
Yeah.
sure. You know, like, even like straight up today, right now, what we're doing,
You feel.
it's technically my 9 to 5, which is
Right.
4-3-7,
Right.
right? And so, you know, if I have a team messaging me this morning, I was like, oh, like, I'm recording a podcast for the next couple hours.
Right.
At the end of the day, it's like, I know that a big part of my role at 437 is to be, you know, like social facing, you know, to be creating content, to be, you know, engaging with the community, because I naturally fell into that. I love doing that. I love connecting. I love talking. I love traveling. But it still has a weird guilty feeling. And I feel like because I'm not like behind a computer right now, but I always take a step back and I say, you know, because, you know, I'm a consultant. I work with a lot of like small business owners. If they came to me and said, how can I grow my business? Or how can I connect with my community? Whatever. I would tell them and their entire team, you need at least one face of the company. Please, like ideally be a founder who has to do this. And everyone on the team needs to be on board for this because it's very important, just as important as running ads and having an agency do that, just as important as having a really cool photo shoot. Like, this is an important part of the business, because do you know how many times, like, you know, me and my friends are talking about different activewear brands, or we're talking about different clothing brands, and I'm like, oh yeah, this woman's activewear brand. They're like, yeah, who owns it? I'm like, oh, it's like this guy. They're like, oh wait, a guy owns this? We've never heard from him. We've never heard him on a panel. Wait, like, that's so strange. Right. And, you know, they're not to say every purchase from every single, you know, consumer is because of the story of the company. But I think right now we have such an economy where people do want to feel a connection to the brand. They want to be shopping from brands that they can somewhat resonate with the founder, whether it's like, oh, she's a woman too. Oh, she's a woman of color too. Oh, she's, you know, she went through like this backstory very similar to me of like, oh, it started when she was younger, or, you know, there's a connection point there that makes them feel, I don't know. I personally love that. You know, I love when I walk into like a Sephora and I see like your face on like a nude sticks. What are they called?
The merchandising units.
You know, it's like, I like hearing the story. I like knowing, and I love when I come to nude sticks events and you're up there like demoing the product, talking about it. And I'm like, yes, versus like just some random person that they hire because the company was made by a man who just wanted to make a bunch of money. And like, you know, like you lose a little bit of that connection with the company. And so I think it's very important. But yeah, I'm glad you touched on the
guilt. Find that your team, like, do they do anything that like makes you feel the guilt, or like, are there comments that made, or do they think that what you do is like this really glamorous thing that you're not like as involved in the day to day anymore? And that
I have never heard a comment, received a comment, felt any type of way. Like, actually, when I was in talks with Olivia just now, who is our creative lead, and I was like, because she's going to send over an Uber package of like some swim to my place, because we're doing like a little creative shoot at my place after this podcast. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'm recording a podcast. Do you mind sending it at 12? And she was like, yes. Oh my God, have fun. Like, so sweet, you know? And I know that I would hope that, you know, I know that she does. And I would hope that anyone that is on my team would understand that this is part of the job. This is, you know, maybe not a direct correlation of 437, but it's about the fact that, you know, we're building a community and it all kind of connects together and it's an ecosystem, right? I've never felt it. It's a self guilt. It's a self guilt. I don't know why.
You're putting it on yourself.
I guess maybe it's because I know like how hard everyone's working. And I think sometimes it's like social media can quickly assume that, okay, you're sitting here on a couch having a conversation. How is that hard work? You know, but it's work. And honestly, I don't believe all work should be hard. Like, we have been so programmed to think that success and us doing what's best for our companies equals hard work. Yes, it requires work. And yes, more often than not, it is hard. Can we find a way to do it that it's actually smart work?
I think it's
fulfilling work.
And exactly.
Dedicated work, strategic work, smart work, hard. Does it actually have to be hard? Is you sitting here right now hard for you, Taylor?
No, I'm having an amazing time.
But it's like, this is a big part of your role, but that doesn't mean that there's not parts of 437 and News 6 that aren't hard to deal with. But also in the same vein, like, I don't want my team to feel like they have to do hard work if they can strategically come up with ways to make it smart or make it effective or make it strategic. Right. And so we all have annoying parts of our job. I hate doing admin. Like, just sitting and finding the receipts to certain things. Oh gosh. We should be doing roles that we love doing, mm-hmm. right? It's like Adrian wouldn't want to be doing like the public facing type of stuff, because to her that would be considered hard work,
yeah.
because she doesn't like doing it.
Yeah.
But for me, what she does, where she's like behind a monitor, like a massive aesthetic monitor, looking at 1,000 photos from the shoot and picking the selects, that to me is hard work. And would I do it for my business? Absolutely. Have I done it for the business? Have I done hard things that I don't love doing? Absolutely, every single day.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like this narrative of, because it doesn't feel hard for me, because I actually enjoy it, there's guilt around that.
Enough?
Yeah. Am I not doing enough? Is this right?
Yeah.
Should I be doing more?
Yeah.
It's so interesting. And I don't think there's like a definite answer.
Mm.
It's just more of like a conversation around this weird space, right?
Yeah. No, I feel that a lot. The, am I doing enough?
Yes.
I think there's always guilt around that, because to your point, you see your team working so hard for you and your business and really believing in the vision. And I think for me, I feel like, oh, can I be doing more for them? Can I be doing more for the business? Like,
absolutely.
I feel guilty sometimes, even when I'm honestly, like, even after work hours or even on the weekends, where I'm like, okay, maybe I'm lying on my couch, maybe I'm watching TV, or maybe I'm with friends or walking my dog, and I'm like, can I be doing something right now?
Yeah.
Yes. I always could be doing something, but I think the framing of like this rest and this time for myself is productive, and it's going to allow me to be best in all other aspects of my life and my job. But I think there has been historically like this really toxic culture, especially for like women in business and kind of like the girl boss era, right? RIP girl boss era, that we were all in this like loop of hustle culture.
Yes.
And
it was like, it was applauded.
Yes. It was applauded for like being burned out.
Yes.
And for just working the most.
Like, I used to love showing off that I was on my laptop, and I would put the timestamp of like 11:30 PM because I'm like, my team is proud of me for working. And the thing is, I do that a lot. Like, there's times where you just have to pop onto your email at night or whatever, right? But I was almost like, let me put this on Instagram specifically so my team can see how hard I'm working.
Yeah.
But it's like, or even the world. I mean, for me, it was more the team, but it's like, why would I even want my team or the world or society to applaud that?
Yeah.
Do we not have relationships where we should be in bed cuddling, talking about our emotions with, you know, do we not have friends we should be on the phone with at that time? Do we not have a family member? Like, isn't that so bizarre?
It's so bizarre. And I do feel, like there was like this seal of approval or the seeking of approval of I'm doing the most and I'm, you know, trying to, I guess, level up to like all of these other kind of like hustle culture individuals. And I think we've gotten to a point, especially post COVID, where we're entering kind of this era. And I don't know if it's like, whether you want to call it soft girl era or like anti-girl boss era. And it doesn't mean we're not working, and it doesn't mean that we're not putting ourselves out there and, to your point, like being strategic and working hard when we need to work hard. Because let's be honest, like, not to be like negative, but in this economy, right? Like, we all know that sometimes we have to put in a little bit more effort than we typically would, and we have to hustle a little bit more than what we would typically would in order to make things happen.
Totally.
But at the end of the day, I think we're all a lot more conscious of the burnout and balance. And,
totally.
You know, even for me, I call my travel sometimes like a marathon. Like, I'm training for a marathon because I'm just like literally on a plane going from meeting to meeting to event to event. And over the next few weeks before I travel, I'm like, okay, I need to get in shape.
Yeah. So I on tour, like, a, you know, before an artist, they go on tour, they go and work out with a trainer. It's true. Yeah.
No, because like now I'm like, oh shit, like I need to make sure I'm sleeping well, I'm eating well, I'm like, have people in my life that like are giving me like the energy that I need. I'm working out. I'm treating myself well, because I know over the next few months, I'm probably not going to get that as much.
How has that changed for you over the years? Like, do you feel that you are connected to your feminine energy?
Not all the time, but it's funny, 'cause I feel like you brought this to my attention. I remember this was, I don't know, probably a year and a bit ago. And you started talking about kind of like entering this like feminine era or channeling your feminine self. And to be honest, like I hadn't thought about it before like that. Like I never thought of like, oh, like when I'm at work or there's times that I can be in my masculine versus times I can be in my feminine. But I think looking it that way and understanding it that way actually allows you to be so like so much more aware of it. Because sometimes I'm like, oh, like when I'm at home or if I'm with my boyfriend, I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm my masculine self right now. Like I need to take a step back and just.
Because you just came from work and you're just.
Or there are times it's funny because I feel like people kind of joke about this and there's so many TikToks about it. But it's like when you're with your partner, like if you're like in your, like you kind of automatically sometimes will go in your feminine and you don't want to have to think about anything.
Anything. Yes. The best.
And I'm like the passenger princess at all times.
The best.
And Adam and I used to, he used to actually say like, oh, like I feel like you're not like thinking when we're together, like if we're traveling together, like making plans and like looking at navigation and like just being like a human essentially, like just being like, but I think because when I'm at work, I'm just like having to make decisions all the time that like when I don't have to, my brain just completely turns off. So I definitely think there's a balance.
Well, kind of good for you though, because I felt that my problem was the opposite. That because I was so used to putting out fires and being the problem solver and being the leader at work, when I would come home, I wasn't conscious of it before I was like, what, you know, when I first realized it and I realized that I have to actually consciously, this is so funny. Coco is on top of the couch crawling around. It's so cute. Like we've been angels licking my butt right now. It's just like, there's a lot going on. I guess what I was trying to say is that at the beginning, when I first realized all of this, I had to be conscious about, okay, Hyla, like, step back. I know you, you know, we'd be in the car, the navigation system. I'm like, Hyla, I know you really want to tell him that he's going the wrong way. Or Hyla, I know you really want to like say that something, right?
Right.
Hyla, lean back. He wants to lead here. This is not your, like, you don't have to put out all the fires all the time just because you've been doing so much of it at work.
Right.
And then I think it always comes back to, this is the most important thing with feminine energy, is does it feel good to you?
Yeah.
You know? To some women, it feels really good for them to take control and to walk into the restaurant and take that initiative and say, yeah, table for this. Excuse me, waiter. Right. Steak is cold. Like, you know, to some women, it feels good being that role.
Right.
But I've had to have an honest conversation with myself. I'm like, does it actually feel good for me? Now Coco's eating Taylor's hair. I'm like, does it actually feel good for me to be that person in the relationship?
Yeah.
Or to keep correcting him, or for me to like want to like, you know, like tell him how to do something, you know? And it, I was like, no, this actually doesn't feel good. But I also didn't feel like it felt good that these feelings were even coming up. And I was like, it's just because of how programmed I was being a leader at 437.
Yeah.
Right. So I feel like I had to make that conscious separation between work, Hyla, and everything else, Hyla. I think the way I used to look at my life was that it's like 437 Hyla is 80% of my picture, and then the rest is 20%. But when I looked at it that way, it was so hard to then connect to myself and connect to my feminine energy, because I'm like, 80% of me is this masculine leadership, decision-making, whatever. That's really hard to step out of that. And now I approach it as like, my whole day, my essence, my being, my core energy is in my feminine energy. Okay, now I put on the hat when I go into work and I need to. And honestly, now I'm even being more conscious around, I don't need to be in my masculine energy all the time at work. Mm-hmm. There's just specific times when it's big decisions, you know, within the finances, you know, leading a team, having to give direction. But I was like, other than that, actually, how can I bring more feminine energy into my day-to-day at 437? So has there been any changes for you as a business owner throughout the last few years, as you've kind of been tapping into that more, where, I don't know, like slowing down or the way you interact with people, like, has there been any differences you've noticed?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is like vulnerability, like in the office.
Yeah.
I feel like I used to close myself off a ton and I would act in somewhat of a persona, and I wouldn't feel comfortable getting close to people either. I think that's also another challenge as a leader. And it's funny because I was actually talking to another founder recently, and we were talking about how she finds it really hard to be friends with her colleagues and with her team. And I know you've made comments like that before, and I feel very similarly, where, you know, you kind of, you're afraid of getting burned and you're afraid of getting hurt.
Yeah.
But I think the way I've thought about it in the office and with my team is that no one's a lifer. You know, as a founder, like, you have to understand that no one is going to, people can love your business, people can love you, people can want to support you, want to support your vision, but the end of the, but at the end of the day, no one's going to be with your business forever, right? That's just the nature of, like,
right,
our society today and our generation. So I think feeling, knowing that, and like not being so hurt when someone decides for their career to go somewhere else, and like
totally
really looking at it as a positive thing. And like, obviously, if you have a relationship with this person, like, you're going to be happy. You're going to want to,
yes,
obviously have that person on your team, but you're going to be happy if they are going off into new endeavors and they would feel happier, you know, leaving and, you know, starting a new journey. So I think understanding that has allowed me to like build relationships, but also at the same time, like, still protect myself at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think that there's certain relationships where like, it's maybe not the healthiest thing to be best friends.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, totally.
But also it's not closing myself off as much as
I used to. Of course. It's like, it's hard to become best friends with someone that at the end of the day, if the results aren't there, performance isn't there, or they came to work with an attitude or whatever, then you'd have to actually put on the leadership pants and have to speak to them in a way that you probably wouldn't have as a friendship. And like, that's not really normal.
Yeah.
Like, when in a friendship are you actually like one person technically is the other person's boss? Like, that's like a not a normal friendship.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying it's not possible.
Yeah.
But it's something that I'm not like, ooh, I want to purposely become best friends with someone on my team, or let me purposely hire one of my best friends. Because I think like the dynamic, there's potential for the dynamic to be very strained afterwards. And it's not something that I necessarily would like sign up for.
Yeah.
I think it's like, how can you lead with love?
Mm.
How can you build a really good relationship with your team?
Mm-hmm.
But there's a difference between like a good relationship, a respectful relationship, a loving relationship, and like becoming like best friends or becoming really close friends. And, you know,
agreed.
Like I invited one of the girls on my team to a Raptors game the other night. You know, she's been doing amazing work for us lately, and she's just been taking so much initiative. And also, it was kind of like a partnership sort of invite. So we got to connect with another brand there and a couple other founders and influencers. And I brought her, and, you know, like, we're there, we're chatting about boys, we're like having a drink, like, we're just having chit chat. And it's so amazing to be able to have that sort of love, respect, and, you know, camaraderie in a situation like that.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's like, I'm going to respect her and she's going to respect me. And I'm not worried that, oh, does she think I'm like best friends, or did I like impress her? Like, I think it's just like, hey, like, we're on a team together and I respect you and I value you and I'm so grateful for you.
Yeah.
Can we have fun together? But I told her, I was like, you don't have to come. This is not a work obligation. Like,
right.
I'm just like, I know you like to watch basketball. Like, let's go like have a fun night out,
yeah.
you know? And I think that it's just like anything, you know, I was in the car with my team yesterday going to the warehouse. It's like, we're going to laugh, we're going to have fun, but like, we don't have to, just because naturally I would hang out with them in my personal time. Like, you are a woman that I would become best friends with. I love you all so much, but I don't necessarily, I'm like not going out of my way to feel that, because I think that in the past when I did do that, it's probably because I wasn't cultivating close enough friendships in my personal life that I felt that, oh, well, here they are, we're working together every day, we all like the same things. Well, of course you do. I mean, if you work in the same company, they're naturally going to have some similar interests.
Yeah.
But can you develop friendships outside of work so that maybe you're not friends with your boss or your you know, your teammates all the time? Because I even noticed that people who work in the same company together, you know, some people can become best friends, but I've also seen it become very competitive between people.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes you have to be honest about their work ethic. Will you be honest about your best friend in the workplace not being really good for the business when it comes down to it in their performance review and they ask you? You know, it's a very strange thing. So I think it's like you just have to have like your own people, and then it's just like a really friendly friendship, but it doesn't have to become like best friends unless it's an exception, you know?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. But yeah, I think being able to have the mentality is so important.
Yeah.
And then I think your team also appreciates it, and it creates a better work environment and culture when you lead by example. And like you can, if you're vulnerable, your team will then have or feel like it's a safe space for them as well to open up and be, express themselves or be vulnerable and not have to like hold back a lot of their feelings and emotions. Especially, I mean, we talk about it all the time. Like you spend the most time with your colleagues, like you spend more time with them than anyone else. So yeah, that's kind of how I would say like brought that feminine energy to the office.
Just being more authentic, being yourself and being like, hey, I'm not perfect.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get it right. This is difficult for me too.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
You know, I think that so many people expect founders to be these perfect examples all the time. And it's like, no, like we didn't sign up to be angels from heaven walking the earth that, you know, can't say the wrong thing, have to walk on eggshells, that can't swear or curse or can't, you know, whatever it is. It's like, we're just people who had an idea who wanted to start a company. And I think that the more perfection we expect from women in business, the less women in business we will see. Why? Because, you know, if we're participating in tearing down, you know, woman business owners, that any slight mistake they make, you know, there's cancel culture, there's trolls and fake burner accounts tearing them down on TikTok and Instagram, and like having this standard of perfection for them, do you think that any aspiring woman entrepreneur is going to look at that and be like, oh yes, I'm so excited to start a business in an industry I don't know anything about. I've never had a company before. I've never led a team before. But you know what? Now seeing the cancel culture of this founder in this one mistake that we all probably would have made in her position, hers just got leaked or whatever. Of course, they're not going to want to start a business. Mm-hmm. The amount of consulting clients, like the during the discovery calls where they're like, I'm not sure if I want to start it. They're like, I'm really concerned because I feel like I'm going to make so many mistakes and people are going to tear me down. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I hope that when we see women business owners making mistake, we can call them in. I listen to so many podcasts on the differences between calling in versus calling out. Mm-hmm. You send them a message, say, hey, like, I saw you said this. I think that, you know, I'm sure you meant it this way, but I want you to know that this is how it came across for me. I just want this to be like a gentle, kind, like, you know, just because I know you're probably learning on the spot and I can't imagine what it would be like if I was in your shoes. Mm. Calling people in, sharing your feedback, supporting them when they're doing the right thing and changing course of action rather than tearing down these anybody, man, woman, like whatever, whoever's making mistakes. Like there's so many, like, I think we have to realize like every, like 95% of people in this world are trying their best and have a good heart and good intentions in mind. Yeah. But when we expect this level of perfection, it's like, guess what? No one's perfect. And so often we see people pointing fingers at someone who made a mistake. And I'm like, how about before you point your finger and call out their mistake, in that message, you call out every mistake you've ever made in life.
Yeah.
Have you ever stole something? Mm-hmm. Have you ever cheated on a partner? Have you ever yelled at your mom that she could, right? Like whatever, before you go tear down this one entrepreneur who made this one mistake or this one comment or with this whatever in life, have you ever made a mistake? Because it's no different. We're all learning. We're all in new experiences every single day. And like, I'm so passionate about this because it's like, how can I tell my young sister, how can I tell my daughter to go and start a business if I'm like, oof, every single time they put me under a microscope, I wouldn't want my daughter to have that, right? Would you? Like, that's a lot. And it's such a beautiful thing to have a business. So don't we want to see women not even just start a business, take on big roles in life? You don't have to be the president to be under a microscope. You could be any sort of high level within the government, or you can be a doctor, you could be a lawyer, you could be even just like the leader of like anything, any big role. You could be a teacher. And if we're all expected perfection in any single thing we do as women or men, how can we continue to feel confident in wanting to like do the unique thing or to break down barriers? Like it's so difficult.
Yeah, it is so difficult. And I love that you said that, because I do think that there's this unattainable level of perfection.
Yeah.
People have these expectations of, specifically I think women, I don't know why, and I know men definitely feel this as well, but I think as women we ourselves are very, very hard on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we expect that from ourselves, not just from other women.
True.
So I think we just project that
mm-hmm.
when we see it, although we know we're not perfect ourselves, but for some reason we have these like insane expectations. But I think what is so powerful about being like a woman today, about being a female founder today, is that, and especially if you have a platform, if you have a social platform,
mm-hmm.
is like exposing those vulnerabilities and exposing those failures and things that, you know, you look back on and you might say, yeah, like, honestly, like I fucked up. Like, wouldn't do it again, wouldn't recommend. And I think that's why even with your course, it's so important. And I love that you essentially were like, I'm not gatekeeping any of this information. Like, I want other women, men who are building a business to really know like what we did, how we overcame it, the mistakes that we, you know, had to go through. Not to necessarily say that it's going to, you know, you're not going to make those exact mistakes, because sometimes it's just the nature of having a business. You just, things come up, but it allows you the knowledge to manage it, and allows you to, you know, work through it in a better way when you have awareness of like, oh, like I know how someone else got through this. Like, let me figure
it. Yes. Or it even sets expectation, because I feel like a lot of people, they reach out and they're like, how do I start a business? I want to start a business. Or they'll start it blindly.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you know, we created that course so that you have a full roadmap on everything it's going to take for you to launch your company, like finding the manufacturer, building the collection, brand positioning, influencer marketing, finance, where to get the capital from, like all the things. And you're like, okay, when you see that roadmap, you're either like, okay, I thought I was ready for this, and maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm not ready right now. Or you're like, okay, at least it's laid out for me and I know exactly what I need to do. I can tackle it step by step and I can get there, rather than going in blindly, which is what Adrian and I did. And that it's scary. And I'm sure like, you know what it feels like to go in blindly and to grow something. It's like, I wish that we had a roadmap for us. Like, I wish I could learn from people's expensive mistakes. Like the amount of expensive mistakes we made, I'm like, in the very least, you won't likely make those mistakes, because we're going to talk about it. And yeah, you're probably going to make some other mistakes.
Yeah.
Normal. But like how can I avoid someone not starting a business because they have no idea what to anticipate? Like, at least let me draw it out for you, spell it out for you. And I'm sure you get this. It's like, we often get so many DMs of like, hey, Taylor, like, how'd you start Nudesticks? Would love to know your story, because I'm thinking about starting a business, right? Of course, like that message response, like the one paragraph you might have time to respond to, or like a 15-minute coffee chat. Of course, like what you can say will leave a sense of inspiration of that, like, oh, she did it and I can do it too. But that's not necessarily going to answer how you did it, like actually.
Yeah.
Because the actual answer must be really complicated. You know, it's like,
it's not a quick text.
How'd you get your first order versus how do you go from one order a week to like 10 orders a week to 100 orders a week to 100 orders a day? Like, there's a whole, you know. And I think sometimes people are wanting these quick answers, but I'm like, I have had a femininity coach, I have a therapist, I purchase courses all the time, because I get it that I can't just DM this feminine expert that I love following on Instagram and be like, hey, how do I become more feminine? Like, or hey, how'd you connect to your feminine energy? Yeah. Because what she's going to offer me in two sentences, it's like, that's me doing me a disservice thinking that like with two sentences, I can actually change. But at least from her free content, I'm like, it is possible. But like, I need that roadmap. Mm-hmm. I need that clarity. Right. So yeah, I mean, I try to be as vulnerable as possible nowadays. And I'm so excited. We have a panel. You and I have a panel together in a few weeks. And I feel like we can even have even more open discussions there on like business and like what it took. I was thinking, do you want to talk about our friendship for a bit?
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's like a fun story. And I actually, I put on my Instagram story, like, do people have any questions for us?
Yeah.
And a couple questions I got were around friendship. And one was like, you know, how do you make friendship being as busy as you are? Or like, how do you maintain friendship as busy as you are? And I'm like, you know what, let's just talk about this whole subject.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about how we met? Or
Remember? Of course I remember.
Okay.
This was, I mean, I can't even tell you the year now, but it was probably like, what, 2016, 2017, around that time. And we had started our business like a few years prior. And then I know you and Adrian were just starting 437 at the time. You had, can I say that you had the hotel room at the Bisha?
Yeah. So we had like a two bedroom at the Bisha, like the residential, like a condo, but it was three of us living in it.
Yes.
And it was also 437's like warehouse, showroom, office, like everything. And it was
so impressive. Like
when you came, it was still wasn't a catastrophe yet. It was still like presentable, showroom-esque. But I think 3 months after you came in to pick up the package that I gifted you, it was like boxes everywhere in the showers. I was sleeping in the middle of boxes. There was product everywhere. And then eventually we got kicked out because they found out.
We were running
a business in a residential unit. They're like, that's not allowed. We're like, oh, fair.
It honestly makes for an amazing story. But yeah, I remember that very, very clearly. And Hyla had actually DM'd me and my sister at the time. And she was like, hey, like, do you want to come try on some suits? Like, would love for you to like, just, you know, gift you some suits essentially. Yeah. So we came, and when you're like 18, 19 years old, or
is how that old was
I?
Are you?
19, 20?
I definitely was probably like, I'm a year older than you, but I was probably like 21.
Okay. So I was 20.
Okay.
When you're 20 years old, like, it is so rare to meet another founder.
Oh yeah. Totally.
When, like, it just doesn't happen.
And in Toronto, it was like really tough.
In Toronto. Yeah. So I think like immediately when I met you, I was like, oh my God. Well, first of all, I was so impressed. I was like, this girl is running this beautiful showroom, has this like sick ass bathing suit line.
Aww.
And I was like, this is so cool. Like, I just want to be friends with this girl.
You were in like every Sephora in Canada at the time. You were in like in Ulta. Like at that time, you guys were already so global.
Yeah, that was 3 years in. Yeah.
So I just remember Nude Sticks was huge already at that time.
It's funny because I feel like, and I think especially in Toronto, because obviously it's our home city, like, you know, I think we had a little bit of a name for ourselves at that time, but I still remember like 3 years in, like, I mean, majority of places you would go, like, no one had heard about Nude Sticks, right? But yeah, I remember you obviously knew about the brand.
Yeah, I reached out. You came in.
Yeah, tried on some suits. We took some photos.
Yeah. And I think that I always want to talk. I want to talk about the difference between an interaction turning into a really close, like best friendship versus an interaction
that doesn't go anywhere.
It doesn't go anywhere. Because how many people do you meet now?
Yeah.
I probably invited a handful of people into the showroom around that time. And I feel like, yes, there was the connection of us being founders. So like we related to each other right away. We started talking. We're like, hey, like, you know, how do you find someone to hire, like to, you know, help you with social media? Like we were already talking about that stuff. But I think that I want to say that we both made effort into the friendship. 100%. And I think like that is often the missing piece. Yeah. It's like some people like friendship, it's like so one-sided. If I was always just inviting you, asking you to hang out afterwards, it all like naturally would have dissolved. Yeah. And if vice versa, right? Yeah. I think we both put in the effort. We both showed up. You came over. I come over. It was so mutual. Yeah. And I remember I met you, but I was like, wait, this Taylor girl. Cause at the time, like, again, obviously you were so young, but you're like, you seem like such a goody two shoes, like on social and like a good way, like so sweet. So like doing your makeup tutorial. And I was like, wait, like, I don't know. I guess I was like in my early 20s. Like I was a bit more of like my, I don't know about like going out phase. I never really had like a crazy phase like that, but I was definitely more my like social, let's try, like, let's go out, let's step out, let's, you know, or like, let's try to be cool phase. And I was like, I wasn't expecting that of you, honestly. You just seemed so sweet and like innocent. And then I remember, I think we were having like, we were lunching. launching a new collection. I think when like Matt James and Tyler Cameron did like a swim trunk with 437 and they came into Toronto, we were going out. I was like, Taylor, do you want to come out with us? And you came out and you were like taking shots with us. We were talking. We were like, I was like, should I talk about it?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, have you ever tried weed? And
oh,
you were
yeah.
like, yeah. I was like, wait, really? Yeah. Like,
you were shocked because you were sitting on your couch and you were like, oh, do you want some weed? Or I'm like, yeah, like I'll smoke some weed with you. So I feel like that was definitely, I feel like that broke the barrier.
Yeah, I was like, wait, she's like, I don't want to say, because I don't care about cool or not cool, but I was like, wait, she's normal. Well,
I can actually fuck with this girl.
Yeah, like we can actually talk. Like it doesn't have to be like, I don't have to be like,
business all the time.
Oh, sorry, you don't drink, you don't smoke.
Right.
Like, you know, yeah. I mean, I don't smoke. I haven't smoked in like 3-4 years. Have you?
No.
No. Yeah. I just, I have.
I mean, I've done, I do a weed gummy here and there,
oh,
but I don't smoke. I just feel like it just, it hits different for me. Like I don't have the best experience, but yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like
so
that was,
funny.
That was definitely the turning point. And then after that, you're like, oh, okay. Like she's, we can just like chill and hang. And
yeah,
I also felt like, I feel like with you too, and it's very hard to find this, but someone who you can switch on and off from like talking about, like we can have a conversation talking about business like very easily, but then we can also go very quickly into like, hey, like, how are you doing in your relationship? Like, how's your family?
Yes.
Like, it's very hard to find a friendship like that where you can kind of just like talk about a lot of different aspects of your life. And I think what I also loved about you, not me getting emotional.
Aww, that's so sweet. Guys, play this at my funeral.
was that you are such a obviously motivated person, but you're so dedicated to your own self-growth, and that I find is also very rare to find in a person, where I like constantly feel inspired by you. Like I feel like every single conversation we have together, like I have like a takeaway from it, not in like a selfish way of like, oh, I'm meeting with Hyla because like I need, it's like I always feel inspired and I have like that energy. And I think, you know, everyone talks a lot about like, okay, you want to surround yourself with people that kind of like give you this like energy and this like lust for life and like this zest. And I think you do so for me.
Aww.
And yeah, I don't know. I felt like that was like super inspirational to be around.
I appreciate that. I also, what I love about our friendship is that, yeah, like you said, we can talk about anything, but the consistency matters a lot to me. I think we live in a world where people just slap a label of friendship, best friend on about anything. And it's like, you know, people will meet in like, especially our industry, right? You'll meet a founder out and you'll grab coffee with her once and twice. And then you're like, oh, we're best friends.
Yeah.
Like you go on social, like my best friend. And like, you know, you're just promoting each other's businesses. And it seems like this like friendship. And it's, you know, we probably have experienced those sort of friendships a lot in our industry. And that doesn't mean that we don't respect those friends. And that doesn't mean that that's not a real relationship. But I wouldn't put best friend on that label. And like, I think the difference between you and I is that we will always make a priority when we're in the city to see like if we are available together. Like if I know that we're in the city for like a month overlapping, every week we try to be like, do you want to at least like do a workout class together, grab a smoothie, come over. And I think with you, it's like, you know, it's a real friendship when I don't feel like we have to go and do something performative or out there. It's like, yes, of course you and I can go get dolled up and go out. But like more often than not, like we're at my place, we're at your place, cooking a meal, chatting, hanging out with the dogs. Like I'm happy to hang out with your partner and vice versa. And like, I don't know. I just feel that, yeah, it doesn't feel like it's always like when it's convenient for me or when it's convenient for you. It's like, I understand that friendship. It is about like, I got to be a friend for her. I got to check in with her. And if I don't like, and you know, sometimes like we'll be texting and you're like, you just call me. And I'm like, I love that because obviously if we're both texting each other, we're probably on the phone. And I feel like even our spontaneous hangouts happen even more frequently than our planned ones because we're like, hey, are you free this morning?
Yeah,
I'm free. Let's just hang out. Yeah. Right. And so obviously being busy entrepreneurs, it's hard to maintain a friendship, but I think that a lot of it is an excuse for a lot of founders. Like, I think that everyone has time to like call a friend at least once a week to just check in with them, even if it's 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Or when you're in town, it's like what we do a lot. It's like the 2-in-1. It's like you were gonna work out that day anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, you live around the corner, let's meet up for a smoothie anyways. It's like, yeah, like of course we're busy. How can we make it work for both of us? Right. And
Yeah.
it's like, you want to stay home that night? I'm gonna come over, right? Yeah. Like, how can I make it comfortable for you when you just landed the day before?
Yeah.
You know, and I think people have to think about that if you want to build a long-term friendship.
100%. Like, yeah, I cannot stress that enough of the importance of like really reaching out to one another and
Yeah.
like building a sustainable friendship relationship. I think it goes for any relationship, whether it's with a partner or with a friend. It's like that consistency and that being there. And I think being there obviously in times that, you know, like you're both busy and you know that it's going to be hard to kind of like, you know, find the time, but like just making room when you can and like having the understanding that like, okay, we might not talk, you know, for a week or two, because we're both kind of all over the place and doing our thing. But like, we know as soon as we catch up, like everything will be good. But like making that time is so important, like when you both have the availability.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I think, I don't know. I think I've also, I'm at a point in my life where you're very conscious of who you surround yourself with.
Right.
And I think I can speak for both of us is that the people in our lives are like, we have like made the decision and like we've put in the effort and the energy to make sure that we're maintaining that.
Yeah.
Because I think we both know that like over time, like there are always going to be people that come and go in our lives.
Of course.
But if there are special people in your life that you're like,
intentional.
You have to be intentional.
Yeah.
Like I know for me, I'm like, oh, I would never, ever, ever want to be in a situation where, you know, for whatever reason, you know, we both get really busy and then like things like, I know that would never happen, but like, I know in order to make sure that it doesn't happen is that like, you just need to keep that consistency of like seeing each other and talking to each other and checking in.
And I think what's so important is that so many times people become friends. Well, we became friends because of business, right? Like it was a business thing. I think so often I see people who clearly that's their intent in the friendship.
Right.
Like I'm sure you felt it. I've felt it where I can tell someone's trying to get close to me because of, I don't know for what reason, if it's going to help their business or they're trying to learn or maybe because I'm connected to certain like influencers, which is like, I look at people as like people, you know, like if they're nice people, I'll be around them. If they're not, I won't. I think that's a really important thing, especially friendship in this industry. It's like, if you didn't have NudeSticks, I wouldn't care. I would give zero F's about that because like as if I look at my friendships for that, like I was raised an only child until I was 14. Right. Mm-hmm. And with my sister, I never lived with her because, you know, it's my dad and my stepmom. So I grew up like with my mom. It was just my mom and I. So friendship meant the world to me, right? Friendship and animals. You know, my pets were my siblings and I was always the person that wanted siblings, but because I didn't have it until I was 14, like all of my, my best friends when I was younger, like are still my sisters. And like, there's no place in my heart for me to be like, yes, Taylor's my best friend, but it's because of NudeSticks. And if NudeSticks or whatever you decided, you know, I don't want to work. I don't want to make an income. My Instagram is shutting up. Why would that make any difference for me? If anything, I'd be like, whoa, talk to me about that. What else? Like, you know, it's just, but I've noticed that people, it's clearly there's a gain in it for them to leverage each other. And that doesn't mean that you and I actually can't take advantage of the fact that we're both in business. Like what? Of course, when there's an opportunity, I'm like, yes, hey, 437, like maybe NudeSticks would want to sponsor this or vice versa. And our teams always reach out to each other all the time, right? Yeah. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, like, we don't care. But it's like, if 437 wasn't part of me, it's like, would that be like the reason why we're friends? It's like, no, like, I don't, like, I think it was a connection point because we got to understand each other. But I think the real harden is that you're a really good person.
Yeah.
And NudeSticks is not who you are. It's a part of who you are. And like, it would be very evidently clear if you were not a good friend, if you didn't have a good heart, if you weren't, you know, making me feel amazing. I don't walk away from our hangouts feeling better. You know, if I was feeling worse about myself, or I'm like, I can tell she low key doesn't, like, you can tell when people low key are like, they're being fake. They're being fake. And there's friends in your life, I'm sure we all have, where it's like, you seem really sweet to me, you're so nice, but I don't know if you have an ulterior motive. I don't know yet. I never once thought that about you.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's how it lasts. It's mm-hmm. been 6 years since yeah. we've been friends, you know, and it's just, it just continues to grow over time. And yeah, I think it's special yeah. and rare.
I agree.
I love you.
And our dogs are so cute.
They're part of the mix too. You guys
and our dogs are like,
they're working on their friendship. Friendship is a little rocky right now.
Yeah. They'll get there.
But anyways, I think that we are having to wrap up, unfortunately. I know. But I will say, guys, Taylor and I can talk for days on so many other things. Like, there was so much I wrote down that I even wanted to talk about, like how being, you know, busy career woman has impacted our relationships. Mm. You know, I know you and I talk about that a lot.
Yeah.
We talk about that on the phone a lot. We're always giving each other advice. Like, hey, like, this is how like, I'd love to talk more about that. I'd love to talk more about the founder's guilt. I'd love to talk more about actual, like, hey, what's working on NudeSticks right now? What are we seeing in the market in terms of marketing? How have you been able to grow your personal brand? How has, you know, working with certain like agencies or managers, things like, how has that been?
Yeah.
Like, I'd love to talk about those things and then even have like a girly chit chat one yeah. night where we can talk about what beauty we like, what fragrance we like, what outfits we like. Like, I think we could have such a fun conversation. And so if you'd like, Taylor, I feel like you're someone that I would love to continue to have on this podcast. So.
I mean, obviously, I would love to.
Be you as well.
I know. I feel like these are like little therapy sessions for us.
Oh, good. That's on the heart to heart couch. Love that.
No, it's so good. And I'm so proud of you. And I love your podcast. And for everyone listening, it really comes from the most like genuine and good place. And I think what I've always loved about you is like, you have so much information, you have so much knowledge, and you don't gatekeep any of it. Mm-hmm. And I love that you're kind of like doing this, obviously, you know, there's obviously going to be benefit for yourself, but I think ultimately like this is going to benefit so many, and just, you know, seeing kind of the vulnerabilities and the heart to heart behind just like all that we are on social. So
thank you. Yeah. You know, sometimes I get like 30 or 40 messages after each episode of like people having nice things to say. And sometimes I wonder, I'm like, did only 30 or 40 people listen? Because I don't look at the numbers. I purposely am not looking at how many downloads or people viewing it, because that's not what I'm in it for. I'm not out here trying to leverage that to like sponsors. Like I personally actually don't care how many people listen to it. I just care about wanting to help like one person or share my experience that can resonate with one person. And sometimes when I only get like, you know, not only, I think 30 responses is crazy in my DMs per episode, but I'm like, it might just be just 30 of us listening to the episode. And I'm like, I'm cool with that. Like to me, like the fact that I sometimes envision having a circle, an in-person circle gathering me and those 30 women that I've
met.
That
would actually be a really
And I'm like, can we cry?
Fun.
Can we talk? Can we talk about our relationships? Can we talk about the moments where we had a spaz attack? Mm-hmm. Can we talk about how difficult it's been? All of us, I'm assuming, career women who've had to balance our masculine and feminine energy. Can we talk about friendships that we put our hearts into and we thought we were so close to them, but clearly that wasn't the case? And like, can we talk about that stuff? Can we be open? And like, yeah, I'd love for us to do in-person stuff. I'd love even a virtual, like, I don't know, whatever. Yeah. I appreciate you saying that, because like, I feel a release every single time I have this episode. That sounds weird, but you know what? I haven't been to Europe. Just kidding.
She's like, this is my release.
You get it.
Yeah.
You get it. But it's like, you know, I feel good, because I'm like, these are emotions that I feel like you don't get on TikTok. You can't, it's just hard. How can I talk about this on social media?
Yeah.
You know, and I love your last TikTok. Everyone, please go check it out. You know, you talk about like the founder's guilt of like the expectation to be perfect and not doing enough. And like, just like, you just have so much going on, and you have your work and then your personal life. And like, how does it all come together? And I get it, Taylor. And it's tough. And for anyone listening to this, it's like, whether you're a founder, whether you work at a company, it's like, it doesn't matter if you're a founder or not. We're just living in a time where it's a lot to balance it all. It really is a lot. And sometimes, like you said, we have these expectations on ourselves.
Yeah.
Big time. That's like the main focus on my episode number 2, which is called Can I Balance It All in My Feminine? It's just like, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves as women. And then we crash because a lot of times of that pressure we put on ourselves that, you know, but at the same time, we live in this social world where we're constantly comparing ourselves. So how can we feel like enough when we're surrounded by highlight reels? And that's not to diss anyone that's posting the highlight reel. I promise you, my Instagram is probably 95% highlight reel, because it's like when you're crying or when you're going through a challenging thing in your relationship, or whatever, you're not going to post that on social. I'm sorry. It's like, you should be focused on working with your therapist, having the conversations, calling your mom, talking to your friends. So it is tough in the world we live in, but I just think that we all need to take a step back and be like, we are doing the absolute best we can. And everyone is going through similar stuff. Like all the DMs I'm receiving, I'm like, whoa, like everyone's going through the same thing. It's just, how would you know?
Yeah.
It's a personal thing. And that's what I love this conversation.
Yeah. I love that. Know? Yeah. No, I love the conversation around not being alone. And I think that's, for me, like the biggest relief about like putting myself out there on social is like seeing the comments come through, or even
you had over 100 comments on that video. It's like,
I think you don't realize, you know, in any like macro or even micro way that like everyone feels it. So I think, you know, more of that, more of talking about it, more long form conversation, more being vulnerable, and more just like supporting each other too as women, right? Yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
So Taylor, speaking of supporting women, where can people find you? I mean, I'll put all the links in the show notes, but what's the best way to like engage, support, follow?
So, I mean, if you want to follow Nudesticks, you want to give us a little follow, you can go to Instagram. You can find our products. You can go to Shoppers in Canada, Sephora in the US. And then my personal is just Taylor_Frankel on Instagram and on TikTok. Those are my platforms. But yeah, I'm kind of navigating like my Instagram right now, because I feel like my TikTok is very like kind of not as like curated, and it's kind of, but I kind of want to take that and also put it on my Instagram. But anyways, that's for another conversation.
Yeah, we can start talking about like social media, personal brand.
Yes, all that. But that's where you can find me.
Thank you so much, Taylor. Thanks, thank you for having a heart to heart with me. Thank you for, this is part of those idioms I don't get right, thank you for wearing your heart out on your sleeve.
Yes
wearing in my intro for this the podcast, like there's like this 2-minute clip on like the Spotify and Apple intro where I wrote putting my heart out on my sleeve. It's like, I think it's wearing your heart out on your sleeve.
I honestly wouldn't even know the difference. Okay, so amazing, I feel like they both make sense.
Okay.
Wearing your heart on your sleeve, putting your heart. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good. I was like freaking out about it. I was like, are people going to notice? But thank you so much, Taylor. I love that, you know, and I just want you guys to know, like, this is how Taylor and I, our conversations are like all the time. And I'm glad we could just continue it and just be authentically us on this episode together. So please send us a DM if you resonated. Obviously, we would appreciate any shares to your stories. It's a great way for people to hear about the podcast, because as you guys know, I don't really market this podcast. It's not really other than my Instagram. So of course, it means a lot if you guys share it so other women can be part of this beautiful community of, you know, openness and wearing our heart outs on our sleeves. And DM us, you know, DM me, let us know what you thought about this episode. And if there's anything else you'd love for me to touch on with Taylor, future episodes, maybe she can become a regular on here every couple months. We can chat with Taylor.
We'd love to.
Well, thank you so much, Taylor.
Thank you.
Get to our busy Fridays.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bye.
I hope you guys enjoyed that episode with Taylor and I. After I have a guest on, typically I like to end it off with just like a little chit chat myself at the end here, so we can kind of reconnect and I can talk about more just what's going on with my week and things like that. So be sure to not jump off too quickly on the guest episodes if you want to hear this part. I thought that was a really fun episode, blending in work and friendship. And I think that, I don't know, I have found it to be rare to be able to blend the two without work being too big in a friendship. Or, I just find that sometimes with friendships, it's like, especially in this industry, it becomes a bit like clouty, and people pretend to be friends and they'll just put like a label on it. But, you know, it's not real genuine friendship underneath at all. And honestly, guys, like I see it so much on social media, and I always just like, I just hope you guys can caution like what you see on social media at times, because I have heard from even the most like famous of friendships on social media that some people can't stand each other or they're gossiping behind each other's back. And it honestly breaks my heart, because what is so important about social media in this world that we have to not genuinely care about the people we're calling friends and we're pretending, and then we're not actually friends with them? I don't know. That stuff really bothers me, because like I said in the episode, friendship to me is something I do not take for granted. And I can't sit here and say I'm the perfect friend. I bet you I'm not. There's so much going on in all of our lives that it's so hard to be like on it and everything. But I know that my heart is in the right place when it comes to friendships. Sometimes my heart may miss something and I don't show up in the best way possible, but I have the best intentions with my friends. I'm so loyal. I care so much. So it would hurt me so much if somebody was pretending to be my friend for social media, to connect our brands together, to leverage something with 437, or to even just like be a fake friend. Like, that would hurt me so, so, so much. And I see it so much on social media. So it really shakes me. It really does. And so I hope all of us, you know, part of our manifestations, part of our gratitudes could be, you know, I'm so grateful for the authentic, loyal, inspiring heart, like soul sister friendships that I have in my life, you know, because like, don't take that for granted when you have like really incredible friends that love you no matter what, no matter what your career is, what you look like, what sort of money you have, but they just want to be there for you and you want to be there for them, and you couldn't live a life without them. I think it's so beautiful and so important. Anyways, if you're watching this video on Spotify or YouTube, I'm drinking my spritz drink. I like pretend I'm like drinking a fun cocktail, but really it's sparkling water. And there's these electrolyte tablets called, I think they're called Noon, that I buy, but any electrolyte tablet that has a good flavor. This one's like a strawberry flavor. And I just drink these every night pretending like I'm living my best life with, I don't know, in Europe, in Saint-Tropez, at a table that's very expensive. And I ordered this 30-euro cocktail. Like, that's sort of what I'm envisioning when I'm drinking this. But I'm just in my pajamas at home on a Friday night. So, but it's okay. A girl can dream. That's definitely what I want to be doing this summer, even though I have zero summer plans as of now. But I am definitely manifesting a summer in Europe, or at least like a week or two there. There's literally no better feeling than wearing like colorful dresses, being tanned, having like fresh calamari somewhere in Europe. Like, I have no summer plans as of now, but I do know that that sounds amazing. So let's manifest that together. But anyways, I just wanted to wrap up and let you guys know, yeah, how I felt about the episode, and would love to hear your thoughts. It's Friday night. Well, right now it's Friday at 5 p.m. So I just finished up my 437 work for the day. I also went and took my car to get detailed on the inside, just kind of like an interior vacuum and that sort of thing, because I don't know, I just really want to start taking care of my things even better now. So I just feel like it feels good to be in like clean spaces, obviously. But I feel like I've always kind of taken my car interiors for granted. I mean, potentially because I don't have a car. Sorry, I'm just laughing because, yeah, that's probably why. But my mom, like, I'm just driving her car for a couple months while she's in India/Iran for like the winter. So I've just been driving her car around and wanted to get that nice and clean. So tonight, 5 o'clock, it's Friday night. You guys know, one night of a weekend, I like to stay in. So tonight, I think I'm going to do a little podcast work. So I kind of want to figure out what the next few episodes are going to be. I'm really thinking of doing the podcast in seasons, for a few reasons. I think that I can really be focused on the podcast for a period of time, and then I can take a break, and then, you know, for the summer travel and not have to worry about like recording something every week if I'm like, you know, living out of a suitcase. And then that way I feel like I can bring new energy into every season, and maybe there could be even like a sort of like a focus, maybe even. I don't know. I like the idea of like a, not a rebrand, but kind of like a level up every season. And I think that's kind of really fun for me. So I think I'm going to do 12 episodes this season, take a break over the summer, and then come back in the fall with the season two, which is kind of crazy. I can't believe we're already at episode like 5, 6. So I'm going to do some podcast work, figure out the next few episodes, and then I'm going to do a little bit of consulting work. This month has actually been very busy. I have a lot of new clients, which has been really amazing. I love, love, love working with my clients, but I'm having to just to figure out how to balance it all, because I definitely, like I'm about to, I think I'm kind of getting at the point where I have to start kind of capping how many clients I can take per week or per month, because obviously it's like not my main work or my main business. It's something I just love doing. And it's just like, I feel like I've learned so much with 437 that I love bringing that to other businesses. And, you know, lately I've had a lot of requests for not just like the work consulting, like business consulting, but also like, Hyla, can we talk about the things you're talking about on the podcast, like relationships, you know, spirituality, balance, feminine energy, how to balance that with my like career. So I recently started a Hustle and Heart package, which is kind of like, that one's perfect for business owners who are trying to figure how to like stay in their feminine, or how their business kind of feeds into like the whole picture of their life. Cause that's like so important. You wouldn't believe how many clients I have that come to me being like, okay, I want to grow my business. And then we take a step back and they realize that there's a lot of missing pieces, and they don't actually understand the why to their business. And this is a critical lesson I learned over the last couple of years with 437. And I definitely want to make an episode on this. Like, when I realized the why, when Adrian and I both really figured out this why part of it, we started reframing and changing up a lot of things that we do at 437, because it came from such a beautiful feminine place within us, rather than like this competitive nature that we felt like we had to do things just because other people were. So my Hustle and Heart package has been really amazing, and I've been loving, loving doing that. Like I think it's amazing. And then now I have people from that package referring other women to kind of like the heart sessions, like the heart to heart sessions. And now I have women reaching out being like, hi, Hyla, like, I'd love to work with you on like life, feminine energy, and like all these things, and not even work related. So now I obviously now offer the heart to heart packages, which is like so sweet, so fulfilling. And, you know, I work with so many women, like I don't want to call them coaches, because coaches kind of sounds weird. And a lot of women that I work with are not actual like accredited coaches, like life coaches, because I don't feel like most of them have to be. But I've worked with two different women, and I still work with them from time to time on like feminine energy, balancing it all, how it impacts my relationships, how it impacts my like faith and spirituality. And I love that through all the learning, I can also help other women through this as well. So, I mean, that's why the podcast is here. Like, I want to just share the things I'm learning, and so that we can learn together. But anyway, so tonight I definitely want to figure out how I can kind of create a system where I don't get too overwhelmed with like too many clients in 1 week or in 1 month, because I want to bring as much energy as I can into every single session. But of course, you know, with 437, with the podcast, and with my consulting, I just, you know, I'm not trying to work like a crazy zombie. Like, that's definitely not what my goal is whatsoever. So just gonna work on that balance a little bit tonight, and how I can structure that. And then Friday nights, I really like to do like journaling. I want to do a really good meditation before bed, but I also really love watching TV. See, guys, like I am not someone who's just reading and doing journaling. Like, no way. I love TV. Right now, I'm actually watching The Summer I Turned Pretty. I love those sort of shows that are from books. And now that I'm watching, I'm like, wow, I feel like I should have read this first. But so far, I've been loving it. So cute. So I'm definitely going to watch like one or two episodes as well. I sleep late on Fridays when it's like my me nights. I definitely sleep late. Because I want to do all the things, you know, I want to do all the good stuff, but I also want to do like the TV show stuff, you know. But anyways, this is turning now into a whole new episode when it's just like the ending of the episode between Taylor and I. So anyways, thank you so much for listening to this episode. As always, in the show notes, you can find how to work with me one-on-one. You can find my course, How the Fuck Do I Start, which is every single thing you need to know about how to launch a brand and everything Adrian and I wish we knew when we were starting 437. We poured hours and hours of modules into that course. And I always believe it's such a good starting point if someone's interested in starting a business. So you can find that in the show notes. You can find all of my favorite links. You can find episodes, all the past episodes that I've done if you've just kind of joined listening to this podcast. And you can find everything to do with Taylor in the show notes as well. Please go follow her. Please go take a look at everything she's up to. She is like so incredible and I'm honored to be her friend. Thank you so much, Taylor, for coming on. And I love you so much if you listen to this. And yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Please, as always, let me know what you think. Let me know who else you'd like to have on. And from my heart to yours, thank you so much for listening, and I hope you have a great rest of your day. Bye.